You're listening to The Spoilroy, episode number 53.
Hi, this is Matt Blender from OK So Radio. Right now I'm participating in the AIDS Chicago Marathon Training Program and I need your help. On my website, oksoradio.libsyn.com, you will find a link to my online donation page. Your generous contributions will go towards AIDS Foundation of Chicago, which is an organization that provides direct medical care to people with HIV. Running the Chicago Marathon will be the hardest physical challenge I've ever faced, but it will be nothing compared to the challenge that those living with HIV and AIDS face every day. This is a great way to help in the fight to end AIDS. Thank you so much for your support.
Hey, bitches. You heard Matt Blender. Go donate to his AIDS marathon thing. Hey, everybody, this is Adam. You're listening to my podcast. I'm going to put a link again in the show notes like I did last week for Matt's AIDS marathon thing. So please, 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 if you haven't donated already, go donate to Matt's AIDS marathon fund. If you've donated, donate again because he needs the money. And I really want to go to Chicago for the first time in my life because I've never been. So, and when I go, I want to go for the marathon, and I want to see Matt cross that finish line. So, if you don't do it for him, do it for me. Anyway, podcasting. My head is in the clouds. What's been going on with me? Let's consult Twitter, because Twitter is my brain now. I don't remember anything. My whole life is just on Twitter. Let's see here. Carmela Soprano is a cunt. Okay. Yeah, I watched the most recent episode of Sopranos. I don't watch much TV, but, you know, the stuff that we download now, we download Sopranos and The Tudors. And the most recent episode of The Sopranos, if you haven't seen that show, you have to get immersed in it. It's so good. Especially in the early seasons, the whole dynamic with the family and the mother and everything, it's so real. It's so real. And I speak to you from experience because Tony's mother was a lot like my grandmother. And the dynamic between Tony and his mother, it was very similar to the dynamic between my mother and my grandmother, her mother. So it's very bizarre. It was very bizarre watching that show because it's like someone put on film what I like witnessed. It's so strange. Hey, kitty. My cat's sitting next to me now on the bed. Like he does. Like if you saw the picture on my blog, I was playing video games after work one day and he curled up next to me on the bed. So let's see here. Oh, I saw on Friday night to start my lovely Memorial Day weekend. It rained all weekend here, so I was inside the entire time. But for the first time on Friday, I saw Some Like It Hot. I had never seen that movie, which is surprising because it's just like one of those movies that everybody's seen, I guess. Especially every gay man has seen Some Like It Hot, I suppose. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. It was so good. Tony Curtis made just this gorgeous, gorgeous woman. So beautiful. And it was bizarre because there were these moments when I'm watching the movie and I'm like, it's like you're watching Jamie Lee Curtis. It's so strange. is she a hermaphrodite? I had this friend in high school. Now, I don't know if this was true or not. This guy, Brian Clemens, his dad was an endocrinologist. Basically, that's an endocrinologist. Your endocrine system is all your glands, so all the glandular things. So you're basically, you know, testicles, and, you know, testicles are glands, and so are the ovaries, and, you know, you have all these other glands. But anyway, my friend Brian told me this shit. Like, his dad really was an endocrinologist. That I knew for sure. But he told me this story. Well, it wasn't really a story. It was just kind of like a fun fact that Jamie Lee Curtis was, like, genetically a man or something, or she was born a hermaphrodite. I don't know what. She doesn't look like a hermaphrodite, especially in True Lies. She's very much woman in True Lies. And in Trading Places, I mean, she's got those boobs, you know? He told me that she was hermaphrodite because his dad was her endocrinologist. But I think that's bullshit now. I don't know. If anybody has it on good authority whether or not Jamie Lee Curtis is a hermaphrodite, please let me know, because I'm dying to know. So, yeah, and Jack Lemmon, I thought Jack Lemmon in Some Like It Hot stole the show. I thought he was so hilarious in that movie, and his facial expressions and his body language, how he's like awkward. He's just very awkward. He doesn't know what to do with himself when he's in drag and everything. But then he kind of like eases into it. And I found it really interesting how by the end of the movie, well, in the beginning of the movie, he's frustrated that he has to be a woman because he wants to get with Marilyn Monroe, who I thought was really good in that movie too. I thought everybody was very, very good in that movie. And the director, I love Billy Wilder. He's such a great director. Now, he directed Sunset Boulevard, I believe. Yes, yes, yeah. And that's another one of my favorite. I love that movie. Love, love, love it. But I thought it was great how Jack Lemmon was frustrated that he was a woman in the beginning. And then by the end of the movie, he's frustrated that he's not really a woman because he kind of falls for that millionaire guy and everything. He's not attractive or anything, but I guess he liked the attention or something or whatever. I just thought that was really interesting. And then the ending was so kind of, it's not what you expect from a movie made from that time. So I think it was made in 1959, Some Like It Hot. And, you know, typically when you watch movies from that era, you think, oh, it's going to end, you know, you think that Jack Lemmon would have his woman because Tony Curtis gets Marilyn Monroe. And you think maybe somehow Jack Lemmon would have his woman, but that's not the case. Jack Lemmon, they just kind of ride off into the sunset on the motorboat, and Jack Lemmon is with the millionaire guy, you know, and he's still in drag. And Tony Curtis takes off his drag, and he's with Marilyn Monroe. So I just thought that was really interesting, and for a mainstream movie of its day to be like that, so... But in any case, I really loved the movie. It was really great. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Some Like It Hot. I hurt myself at the gym this weekend, which sucked. I was just doing some decline bench press, and I was swinging weights in a way that weights ought not to be swung. And I hurt my elbow. I think I sprained my elbow. At first, I'm pretty sure that's all it is a sprain. It's still kind of tender right now. I went to the gym tonight, but all I did was legs. And it's still a little tender, but only if I push it. So I'm not going to push it. Because there's that old adage, you know, a guy goes into a doctor's office and he's like, hey, doc, you know, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor's like, well, then stop doing that, you know. So just don't do it if it hurts. And I was icing it all weekend. And I took a picture of myself. The ice pack, I didn't feel like the ice pack in my freezer was cold enough. So Brad and I, we keep all of our hard liquor in the freezer. So we keep all of our vodkas and our vodkas, plural. We have many kinds of vodka in this house. And the gin in the freezer, because it's best when it's cold. It tastes the best. And the ice pack, I just felt like, oh, this isn't cold enough, you know? So I pulled out the, I was pulling out the bottle of vodka, the Monopolova vodka, every so often and icing my arm with that. And that was very, very sufficient. But today, on the way to work, I bought one of those elbow things that goes on your arm and has the ice pack inside and everything. And I'm very satisfied with that. So it's getting better. It was nowhere near as bad as it was like right after I heard it at the gym. But it's, I can tell that it's still not 100%, but hopefully I'll be okay to work out tomorrow. And if not, we'll find out, you know, we'll find out, I guess. I'm so just kind of stubborn with injuries. I don't want to quit working out. And I got really depressed when I realized I hurt myself. I thought the worst had happened at first. I thought I had torn my bicep, which is a common injury for people who lift weights, but usually it's only common for people that are on steroids, because what happens is when you're on steroids, your muscles grow, but your tendons don't grow at the same rate as your muscles. And so your muscle becomes so strong that it rips itself off the bone because the tendons aren't strong enough. And I thought I had torn my bicep, but it happens to other people. If you lift something too heavy, you can tear your bicep. But if you tear your bicep, you'll know, you'll be in excruciating pain, you can't move your arm, and your arm will be black and blue very quickly. I have absolutely no bruising whatsoever, so I'm pretty certain it's just a minor sprain. And in any case, I was trying to keep off of it. But I got really depressed because I really, really like going to the gym and I like working out. It's my time to just relax and zone out. And I don't think about anything except lifting weights. That's all I think about. When I'm at the gym, all of my life shit, like all of the errands I have to run, all the things that I have to do, work, everything just kind of melts away. And all I think about for an hour and a half is just, you know, picking up weights and doing the exercise. And I just concentrate on that for an hour and a half. And it's so great. And it's so therapeutic because I just kind of just, it's like washing my brain free from the shit of life. So I got depressed. I thought I wasn't going to be able to go to the gym for a while. But I have a tendency to kind of just go overboard with things. So Brad rest assured me that it wasn't that bad, you know, because I could move my arm, you know. So what else did we do? And let's go to I have to look at other Twitters because Twitter is my brain. Okay. Oh, and then on Saturday, that was the day I hurt my arm. And also it was my cheat day for just my diet. So I allow myself one day a week where I can eat anything I want. So we went out and had tortas, which is a Mexican sandwich. It's really, really good. And we went to this really great local patisserie here in Dallas. It just opened up recently. And if you're in Dallas, go check out Rush Patisserie. It's on Elm Street, which is in Deep Ellum. And just type Rush Patisserie in Google. Rush, R-U-S-H, sorry. It's this woman. It's just this one-woman operation. She's from New York. She studied in France, and she makes excellent French pastries. So Brad and I went there after dinner, and she's so sweet. We were the only people in there. And she was she totally went above and beyond the calling of her job. You know, first of all, this woman keeps ungodly hours because she has to bake all of these amazing pastries by herself. And then when we came in, she has everything in the case, and we picked our pastry and we sat down with it. And we ordered coffee also. And she's like, oh, I'll make you a fresh pot. And we were like, oh, thank you. That's so nice. And then to top it all off, she's kind of got like this self-serve coffee area. She didn't have to do this we were the only people in there, and we weren't that far away from the self-serve coffee area. She brings all of the sugar and the cream and the stirs over to the table. She's so nice. She's so sweet. I really, really enjoy her pastries. So it's just nice to know that there's, you know, local businesses like that. And I get so concerned for, I feel so much empathy for people with local businesses, because I can't imagine how scary that is to do that. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. I bet it really takes a lot of courage. And there's this other guy I go, it's an El Salvadorian pastry shop too. And this guy, he's from El Salvador, and it's just him and his mom, and they're just baking pastries all day. And, you know, and he's selling them so cheap. He could charge so much more for the stuff that he sells. And I feel bad every time I go there and I get something, because I feel like I'm stealing it. He charges like 40 cents for a cookie or something, you know, and he should be charging a lot more. But it's so just, I don't, and recently his cash register got stolen from his store, because it's in a not so great part of town. And I really just think it's so amazing, because that something like that happening, he just opened and then his cash register got stolen. I would imagine it's very easy when something like that happens, just to give up. So I hope these businesses succeed, because I really like them. What else is going on? Oh, so we went to IKEA this weekend also. We went up on Sunday. We needed a new computer chair. So I hate everything at Office Max, because everything is just like a throne, a masturbation throne, as far as I'm concerned. And I think of just like nasty, geeky, pubescent boys in those chairs, and it grosses me out. And so I thought, well, let's go to IKEA, because they have kind of slimmer design stuff. It's not so bulky and overstuffed. And I swear, I was such a mistake. I don't know why we went to IKEA on Memorial Day weekend. It was such a mistake, because it was just throngs of people and fat, fat Texan people. And just, every time I go to that store, I like it less and less. The first time I went, I thought, oh, this is nice. You know, they have really nice stuff. It's, you know, it's affordable, and it's got a modern design aesthetic to it. It's very nice. Then I went there. It's like I think this was my third or fourth time there. And I start to see that everything's just the same, except they put a different slip cover on it. You know, basically it's the same shape, except it has a different pattern on it or a different color or whatever. And I just think it's so boring, you know, going through there. And then plus they make you walk through that maze, basically, and you have to write down the number to get your thing. And then after you go through the maze upstairs, where they make you look at everything, and then you have to go through the maze downstairs with all the, you know, shit for your house that you don't need, but people think they need. And I got so disgusted by the end of it. So we go and we get our thing, and then they put you in the warehouse. And you have to pick out your thing. You know, you find your aisle and you pick out your thing, whatever. And then you have to wait online for half an hour. And you're surrounded by all this crap that you don't need. And it's brilliant marketing. Absolutely brilliant marketing. And they have that huge banner up above. And it's a giant hot dog. A giant sweaty hot dog with yellow mustard smeared on top of it. And so many people were getting those fucking hot dogs because it says 50 cents. And you're like, well, 50 cents, what's 50 cents, right? And it was just, I was getting so grossed out. But I do it to myself because I like to take these trips to the suburbs, because I want to be grossed out by suburbia. That's why I like to go up to suburbia, because it just makes me so disgusted just to see that this is it for some people. This is their dream. This is what they've been working for their entire lives. They've been working and slaving and toiling at their miserable jobs so they can go to IKEA and by organizers to organize the other organizers that they bought that they never used 3 months prior, and so that they can stand online in IKEA and eat a 50-cent hot dog. That is the American dream. I mean, it's so disgusting. It's so disgusting. But I'm like a pig in shit when I'm there, though, because I love it at the same time that I'm hating it. I just, ugh. It's like, it's so disgusting. And then it's brilliant marketing because you're standing in this line for 30 minutes, and I think they're intentionally slow, and you're surrounded by all this chintzy crap, and you're standing there, and you're bored out of your mind, and you're looking at this shit, and you're actually considering buying it because you have nothing else to do, and you're bored, and so the most interesting thing for you to do at that moment is to deliberate on whether or not you need a plastic light set or a garden lantern or a step stool with a giant little, you know, or with a step stool with a million little rubber nubs all over it, because you're so fucking bored. That's all you, and you get lured in. You really do. You have to stop yourself. You have to step out of yourself for a minute and say, wait a minute, hold on, I don't need this crap. It's so interesting. And then I saw these people, it was really funny. There were these people way up in front of us, ahead of us in line, and they were buying a lot of stuff. And, best way to describe them is just pure white trash. They were really nasty white trash people, like missing teeth, just kind of greasy skin, loose fitting, you know, Disney clothes. Brad's like, wow, they bought a lot of stuff. And I was like, yeah, they really went to town. They're going to have the nicest trailer in the park. And Brad says, oh, stop. You know, maybe they're buying something for their child, for their dorm. I said, Brad, it's not time to move into dorms. And secondly, do they really look like people who value education? And I think I'm going to go to hell for saying that. I can't believe I even told you that. But I mean, it's just, that's how I was feeling at the moment. And so, and I took these pictures with my camera phone and just how miserable everything is. But I was smiling, and I took a picture of the IKEA, like on the cart, you know, on the handle of the cart. And my caption was IKEA, the Swedish word for hell, because that's what I felt like I was in right now. Okay, that was my IKEA tirade. Pardon me. Okay, what else is going on? I played a lot of video games, and that was it. Okay. I think I've done enough rambling. Michael Heron says, .Mac account expires in 30 days. Any reason I should renew? No, don't renew your .Mac account. It's stupid. They don't give you enough bandwidth. It's retarded. Oh, I wanted to just mention something. Arthur from Amarin's podcast was speaking on his podcast recently about bandwidth issues with Podomatic. Now, I use Podomatic, and oh, first of all, I had some issues with the previous episode because this is all very meta bullshit. So if you're not interested in this shit, you can turn it off or fast forward or whatever. Oh, kitty. You're so cute. For some reason, Podomatic is queer with M4A or whatever it is, M4P files, and it likes to convert them to MP3 or whatever. Who cares? So if you had trouble getting it, I apologize. I reposted the episode using my TypePad account because I get bandwidth from TypePad, and I pay for it, so I might as well use it, right? Secondly, Arthur was talking about how he was running out of bandwidth. So here's a little tip that I'd like to give everybody if you're interested in podcasting or you're a podcaster now and you use Podomatic. This is what I do. And I took this really from Darren from All Preparation and No H, because he's a cheap bastard. I have multiple Podomatic accounts. So each one of them has, you know, X amount of storage and I believe 15 gigabytes of bandwidth per month, whatever. And so basically what I do is I never run out of bandwidth because I can post to my multiple Podomatic accounts, but my RSS feed is a feed burner RSS feed. And it catches any MP3 or any video file that I post a link to on my blog, thisboyelroy.com, and it packages it in one RSS feed. So it doesn't matter if I'm posting on This Boy Elroy or This Boy Elroy 2 or This Boy Elroy 3 at podomatic.com, because Feedburner is wrapping everything into one RSS feed that is then getting fed to iTunes or whatever. So that's one way that you can work around these bandwidth issues and still have a free podcast using a service like Podomatic. And basically you could have an infinite number. I have 3 and I don't need anything more than that because my bandwidth requirements just aren't that much. So that's one way of getting around the bandwidth issue and not having to pay for the pro or having to go to Libsyn. I had Libsyn for a while and it's a good service, but I really think that because Podomatic is offering something for free, I felt really yucky about using Libsyn, paying for it, because really it wasn't so great, you know, for what I was paying for. So that's just a little tip if you're interested in how to avoid those bandwidth limitations. And I believe that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Go to my site, thisboyelroy.com. Leave comments, questions, concerns. You can email me at thisboyelroy@gmail.com. And I have a Facebook, but I don't know what to do with Facebook. It's so bizarre. I don't even know what the purpose of it is. But I don't even know why I mentioned it. All right, everybody. Hope you're doing well. And I will talk to you later. Bye-bye. Living in lies by the railway line, pushing the hair from my eyes. Elvis is English.